Good morning and welcome to worship on this, the last Sunday in June and the 16th Sunday, worshiping together while staying apart. Soon and very soon, we are hoping to be under the same roof in our sanctuary, offering God our thanks and praise. But for now, let us prepare our hearts for worship as we see images of a busy week at Trinity Lutheran Church and some memories from simpler, less restrictive days.
Blessed is the one who walks in your favor, who loves all your words and hides them like treasure. In the darkest place of our desperate heart, they are a light, a strong I cannot find you. I look for your face, but you are not there. By my sorrows, Lord, lift me to you. Lift me up to
stars, friends.
We worship now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening song is Praise and Prayer, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Open our hearts and minds, gracious Lord, that we may see you, honor you, praise you, and offer our lives in service as a loving response to your grace. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jan Wright serves as the vice president of our church council. She is also our reader this morning. She's in California right now, but through the miracle of technology, we're going to hear from her as we beam her in right now to read our lesson. Jan?
The reading is from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Jan, and be safe in California. Come home soon. Now, life is hard for all of us, I know that. But I wonder, have you ever experienced tragedy or unexpected challenges in your life and wondered why? Why, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? Carl Olson is going to sing for us now a Kris Kristofferson song that was written after he had a particularly moving religious experience.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings I've known? What did I ever do to deserve loving you for the kindness you've shown. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus, I know what I am. But now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it all. Help me, Jesus, I know what I am. But now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus, I know what I am. But now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in your hand.
Thank you, Carl, and thank you, Chris Christofferson. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. The Bible is overflowing with songs, poems, verses, and reflections offering thanks and praise to God. The songs, poems, verses, and reflections reminded ancient people of the daily blessings of this life and the abundant grace and mercy of the God who loved them. Now, keep in mind that most of the people who sang those songs, offering their thanks and praise, were extremely vulnerable. Other nations sought to rule them. Their food supply was tenuous always. Clean water was an issue. And a simple wound or illness could end their lives very quickly. They had no antibiotics, no knee replacements, no medicine to regulate their blood pressure. It did not take much to kill them, and consequently, most of them were dead before they were 40 years old. However, it should be noted that they did not have a 24-hour cable news cycle, so they tended to be much less stressed and much happier. Praise and thanksgiving. By any measure, we have been blessed beyond comparison in the entirety of human history. We live better, we live longer, richer lives than any generation that came before us. We have more freedom, access to outstanding health care, better coffee, and usually in non-contagion years, we have the opportunity to travel the world safely. We live better than any king or queen or rich person who came before us. And when we go into Payless or to Costco, we find options for food that would be unimaginable to our grandparents. If our eyes are open, we should be moved often to offer our thanks and praise to God. We live on Whidbey Island, blessed beyond measure. We have so much to be thankful for. Now, the title of this morning's sermon is The Burden of Privilege. It reflects a personal struggle for me. You see, the older I get, the more that I am aware of the privilege that I have been given in this life. Now, I try to keep my ego in check. My life has been mostly insignificant. I have never moved in the circles of power. I have never sought or protected the privilege that I've enjoyed as a white male. If I allow my ego to run free, I could imagine that I am responsible for all of this. But in reality, I'm not responsible for privilege. I did not seek or create the systems that have provided me with privilege. I do not feel guilty about injustices that happened before I was born. I have no need to be defensive or apologize for pages of history that were written without me. Having said that, I recognize the privilege afforded to me as a white male in the United States. This privilege, a mostly hidden blessing that has opened doors for me, doors that would not open quite so easily for others. I've been given opportunities and options, that come with a privileged status to live safely, to move about freely, to achieve success or failure. Now, guilt does not weigh me down, but I feel a burden of privilege. A few years ago, on a Trinity Lutheran church tour of Israel, I had arranged for a yagim to join our group in Jerusalem for dinner and conversation. A yagim, you ask? What in the world is a yagim? Well, it is an ELCA program for those who have just graduated from college, young adults in global mission, yagim. Young people who give a year of their life in service to others somewhere in the world. This young woman, Hannah, had graduated from the University of Washington, and she'd been assigned to serve in Bethlehem. She was living and serving 5 miles from Jerusalem, where our hotel was. Now, Bethlehem is right next door, and it is a world apart. You see, Bethlehem is on the other side of the security wall, a wall twice as high as the Berlin Wall. Bethlehem is controlled by the Palestinian Authority, but the border wall, constructed by Israel, makes it nearly impossible for the residents of Bethlehem to visit the holy city of Jerusalem. When the young American woman arrived at our hotel, I paid the taxi driver and asked her if she had any problems on the way. No problem. She had breezed right through the checkpoint at the wall. The process that took her less than 2 minutes would have taken those that she served and lived with in Bethlehem hours. And even then, their access could have been denied. She said to me, "The passport of the United States of America is gold. It affords me great opportunity, and it is a burden to carry." The burden of privilege. Why? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings you've given? Why? Why was I born in a land of milk and honey when so many, even today, are born in poverty and hunger in war-torn countries? Why? Why me, Lord? Perhaps you've asked that question, that why me question. But mostly we ask that question when we are caught up in the midst of trouble. We ask that question when we encounter health or financial or family problems, problems that are faced by humans in every corner of the globe. What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings you've given? It starts with a recognition of all that we've been given. The recognition should then lead us to thanks and praise. But in God's economy, it does not stop there. We are not blessed in isolation. We are never blessed in isolation. No, we are blessed to be a blessing. How can I come to grips then with the privileged position that I find myself in? A one percenter among the richest people on the planet. Oh, hold on. Wait a minute, Pastor. Slow down right there. You may include yourself in that category, but you're not talking about me. I'm not rich. I am certainly not a one percenter. In fact, I don't really like those one percenters. Well, think about this for a moment. If you have a net worth of $4,200, you have more than 50% of the entire world's population has. Consider this. All in, home equity, savings, retirement. If you have a net worth of $93,000, you have more wealth than 90% of the world's population. Oh, I know that not all of us are one percenters, but in reality, most of us are one percenters. What a blessing to live on Whidbey Island among the richest people in the world. And what a burden. The burden of privilege. Blessed to be a blessing to others. When you consider the journey that is before you, the question is not what is in it for me. We have already been given. We have already been blessed. The question is, will we in turn be a blessing to others? When we consider our lives, we might ask the question in a different way. What's in it for God? Does my life offer thanks and praise to God by benefiting my neighbors? Let's look for just a moment. Let's look in on the presidential inaugural speech of John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That was January 20th, 1961. The young president challenged and inspired the nation, saying, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Now, those words, among the most famous words Kennedy ever said, were not entirely original. Kennedy echoed the words of Oliver Wendell Holmes, who nearly 50 years earlier had said, we must have a citizenship less concerned about what the government can do for it and more anxious about what it can do for the nation. But let's go back even further. The inspiration for those words came from a Jewish rabbi 2,000 years ago. The words of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, from everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be required. The words of Jesus inspired Supreme Court justices and American presidents. Those words also became one of the foundational principles of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Never underestimate the power of a mother. The power of a mother to change the world, to change the world on her own, or to change the world through her children. Now, Mary Gates was a role model for her son, Bill. She was the first female president of the King County United Way. And as the 30-year-old college dropout son of hers became a billionaire, his mother encouraged him to give away money. But the young Gates was too busy building Microsoft to be bothered by philanthropy. His mother? Well, let's just say that Mary Gates was not the kind of woman who was easily discouraged. Listen now as Bill Gates tells this story about his mom, and I quote, "A few days before my wedding, she hosted a bridal event at which she read aloud a letter about marriage that she had written to Melinda. My mother was very ill with cancer at the time, but she saw one more opportunity to deliver her message. And at the close of the letter, she said, 'To whom much is given, much is expected.' A few months later, shortly after Mary Gates' death, Bill and Melinda Gates gave their first gift, $100 million, to launch the Gates Foundation. Last year, the Gates Foundation gave away $4.8 billion in grants. Never, never underestimate the power of a mother. Mary Gates changed the world, perhaps ultimately more than any other woman in history. She did so by modeling generosity and public service. Mary Gates realized that she had not been blessed in isolation. She had been blessed to be a blessing." Hear the text again, the words of Jesus. "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be required." Now there are, it seems to me, four critical words from this teaching that we need to understand if we are to understand the deeper meaning of this text. Let's start with the words given and entrusted. Do you see what Jesus is doing with this? Whatever we have been given. Of course, I know that you have worked. I know that you've worked very hard for everything that you have. I know that you did not grow up with a silver spoon in your mouth. I know that you have taken every opportunity. You have sacrificed and saved and worked overtime. What you have because you have earned it. Jesus is not denying your hard work. Jesus understands that you are a clever investor, a faithful employee. You have played by the rules, and now you have financial security. And God says, well done. But if you lay aside your ego for just a moment, you'll realize that your mind, your body, and your instincts came from somewhere else. Your opportunities were mostly provided for you by your parents, your grandparents, by patriots of the revolution, by the greatest generation, by soldiers who stand guard right now protecting the privilege of the United States and its citizens. You were mentored by others. You were taught by teachers who made too little money. And you were served each and every day of your life by milkmen, garbage collectors, farmers, and grocers. They took care of the details so that you could focus on making money or putting advanced degrees on your wall. Jesus uses the words given and entrusted. Whatever we have, we've been given. More than given, it has been entrusted to us. Now, there's a difference between ownership and stewardship. If something is entrusted to us, then we somehow are accountable for it. Our possessions, given to us are really only on loan to us. We are stewards entrusted with wealth and children and homes and intellect and money. We hold them for a little while. They are blessings to us, but they do not belong to us. We are blessed, not in isolation. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. And so we have been given, and so we have been entrusted. And that brings us back to the burden of privilege. The next two words from Jesus, required and demanded. To whom much is given, much is required. And to the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded, required and demanded. Those are strong words, are they not? There's not a lot of wiggle room there. Well, maybe it's just a bad translation. Maybe we got the Greek or the Hebrew wrong here. Perhaps Jesus really meant to say that it was optional. You know, maybe Jesus really said, if you've acquired a lot of stuff, I would appreciate it if you consider passing on the scraps that you do not need to others. If you find yourself blessed, blessed beyond your wildest dreams, if you've won the financial game of life, then rejoice, eat, drink, and be merry. And if you think of it, leave a tip. Leave a gratuity on the table. What is a gratuity these days? 15%? 20%, I think. But wait a minute, I can't tip God 20%. That's too much. How about 10%? Now, 10% is biblical, but I'll just leave it to you. You do the math and see how much you share with charity and with others, always keeping in mind that we're blessed to be a blessing. To whom much is given, much will be required. To whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Did Jesus really say those words? It just doesn't seem that it gives us a lot of wiggle room. My friend Ron Shellman sent me a note a few years back. After attending a Sunday morning service, he sent me a note. It said simply this: your sermon disrupted my sense of complacency. Thank you. Required and demanded. Why does God need your money? The answer, of course, is quite simple. God does not need your money. And God does not care about your money. God only cares about you. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. God cares about you and about your abundant life. And God knows that misers, skinflints, and hoarders are not living abundantly. And their greed is keeping others from living abundantly as well. Now, the Harvard Business School recently conducted a study on consumption among the American public. Among other things, they discovered this, and I quote, "Those who spend money on others are happier than those who spend money on themselves." Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings you've given? I can't tell you why we were born in a land of opportunity. We could have just as easily been born in Syria or Yemen, but we weren't. And I can't tell you why we have full refrigerators and so many in the world, even today, go hungry. I can't tell you why we get to ride out this contagion, enjoying the relative safety and unparalleled beauty of Whidbey Island. We have been blessed beyond measure. And with that blessing comes the burden of responsibility. Required and demanded, we carry the burden of privilege. Or to quote Mary Gates, who quoted Jesus, Mary Gates, who changed the world, to whom much is given, much is expected. Is this an oppressive law? Is this a requirement for salvation? No. No, this is the path to abundant life. This is, in fact, the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Nick Borison is going to sing for us at this time.
Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm lone. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, linger near, when my light is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears, and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Thank you, Nick. Always wonderful to hear you sing. We appreciate it. At this time, we lift our hearts to God in prayer. Each petition will end with the phrase, "Hear us, O God," and our response will be, "For your mercy is great."
Lord, there is so much pain and anguish in your world right now. Let us pray for all people according to their need.
Guide us as we work toward a world that is unbiased and inclusive for all. Help us to put an end to racial discrimination and inequity. Help us to work for justice and freedom for your children of every race, ethnicity, gender, and identity. We are hurting and tired. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great.
Loving God, be with us as quarantine restrictions are loosening. Help us to continue to think and act in caring and compassionate ways so that we all, especially the ones who are most vulnerable, may stay safe and healthy. Be with all who are returning to work and adjusting to new schedules and routines. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great.
Caring God, we pray for those who are struggling with depression, anxiety, and other mental health concerns. Bring your comfort and peace during this time of turmoil and unrest. Shine your light and love into our lives so that we may feel your uplifting embrace. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, we pray for our divided nation. May we come together to work for common good of all people. We pray for government leaders and those in positions of power. Give them wisdom, patience, clarity of thought, and compassion, especially for those who do not have a voice, and for all who are living on our margins. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious and loving God, we commend all for whom we pray. trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share now a sign of greeting and peace with those that you are worshiping with this morning.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Just a few announcements this morning. You see the beautiful altar flowers behind me. They are in honor of Bill and Kay Anderson's 62nd wedding anniversary. Congratulations, Kay. I did not know that you were even 62 years old, much less married for that long. Bill, you married up. Happy anniversary to both of you. We had a food drive this past Tuesday, thanks to all who came out to support our neighbors as those that offering of food was shared with both the food bank, Gifts from the Heart in Coopville, and with good cheer here on South Whidbey. It's almost July, and that can only mean one thing, VBS. And so we're going to call Deacon Amy to come up and tell us now what's coming up for VBS.
All right. Good morning. I am excited to talk with you this morning about Vacation Bible School. VBS will look a little different this year. We're doing a hybrid version between at-home activities and some online videos that you can log into. So VBS will be July 20th to 24th. You'll get to come to church the week before and pick up a packet full of all of the goodies that you will need for Vacation Bible School at home. Then you'll be able to log on every morning to see Mr. Carl and I do a live stream welcome and music session. And then throughout the day, you can check the website for Bible stories and other fun activities. So please do go to the website, trinitylutheranfreeland.org, to get registered so we can be sure to have all of your goodies ready for you. Thanks.
Blessed to be a blessing. We now dedicate our very lives to God as we sing together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Carl has put to music for us. We sing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily time of trial, and deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever, now and forever,
amen. As you stay put or as you travel, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our closing song is a Mark Pearson original. You can sing along with Carl if you like. Let love go forward.
Love is a candle that lights up the night. Love is a star that we follow to daylight. Love is a lighthouse that leads us safely home. The surest light we'll ever know. Let love go forward from this time and place. Shine its healing light in a gentle embrace.
and time. Let love shine. Love can unite us, though we are apart. Love is the answer. Let love go forward from this place and time. Let love shine. Let love go forward from this time and place. Shine its healing light in a gentle embrace. Let love
go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We are one day closer. Thanks be to God.
Around the world, across the street, a baby cries, a mother weeps. But love is wide and mercy's deep. God looks for us with longing eyes around the world, across the street. Around the world, across the street, a baby cries, a mother weeps. But love is wide and mercy's deep. God looks for us with longing eyes around the world, across the street, around the world. Same stars across the street, we share a broken heart, and the way that starts with me travels far beyond the sea to share the Maker's love around the world, around the world, across the street, a baby. But love is wide and mercy's deep. God looks to us with longing eyes around the world, across the street.
for us with longing eyes around the world, across the street. God looks for us with longing eyes around the world.